Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word for our special meditation this morning is the first lesson from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Hear again those words. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This, too, is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This, too, is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This, too, is meaningless. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This, too, is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. This is the word of the Lord. Dear fellow redeemed children of God, the book of Ecclesiastes does not come up very often in the three-year lectionary, which is the cycle of Bible readings that we use to guide and plan our worship services in church on Sunday mornings. It's probably also one of the books of the Bible that is not generally very well known by many people, even among Christians. The title in English is long and a bit hard to say and kind of confusing, and that's because it isn't really English at all, but it's a Greek word, actually. So the title itself doesn't mean a whole lot to most people. And even when we translate the title into English, we might say something like, the book of the teacher, or the book of the leader of the assembly. But even that doesn't really give us much clue as to what the book is actually about. But if we mention one of the key words that is used most frequently in the book of Ecclesiastes, meaningless, then people's ears perk up. That word meaningless is used 35 times in the NIV translation of Ecclesiastes. So as depressing as that sounds, we might use that as the theme word for the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless. Well, I think that probably a lot of us can relate to that feeling. The feeling that many things in this world and in this life are pretty meaningless. But what's really interesting about the book of Ecclesiastes is the rather extreme statements that the teacher makes, the writer, when he says, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. For that reason, the book of Ecclesiastes might be a bit unpopular, because we may not fully understand what the writer is talking about, and we may actually be offended sometimes by his message. For instance, although we might often feel that there are quite a lot of things in life that are actually pretty meaningless, most of us also recognize that there are also quite a lot of things in life that are actually very meaningful. For many people, family is one of the most meaningful things in life. And of course, closely connected with family are love and marriage, children. Our church family is also very meaningful. And of course, God's word, the Bible, is certainly the most meaningful thing in this world. So it's important for us to understand what the writer of Ecclesiastes is really talking about. And first, just a side note about who that writer is. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Ecclesiastes in the NIV translation says, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem." Well, from that short description, that would appear to be pointing to King Solomon, David's son. And there are other clues throughout Ecclesiastes that also point to Solomon, such as the writer stating that he is very wise and very wealthy, which elsewhere in the Old Testament it records that Solomon was. God had given him great wisdom and also great wealth. But when it says son of David, it could also mean another of David's descendants further on down the line, perhaps not necessarily Solomon himself. But whatever the case may be, it's convenient just to use that term, the teacher, to identify the writer of Ecclesiastes. So now, coming back from that side note, it's important for us to understand what the teacher is talking about when he calls everything meaningless. He's certainly not calling God's word meaningless, and he's not calling family meaningless. He's not even calling work or money or possessions meaningless, though it may seem like that sometimes from what he writes. Rather, the teacher's view is a bit more balanced than that. Perhaps besides the word meaningless, the most famous words from Ecclesiastes are in chapter 3, words that were turned into the folk song Turn, Turn, Turn by Pete Seeger in the 1950s and then covered by the Byrds in the 1960s. The words from the Bible go like this: "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." This is the balanced view that the teacher presents, that there is a time for everything. But all of those things can become meaningless if they get out of balance or if they are not done at the proper time. And one of the main out-of-balance things that the teacher focuses on in our reading for today and elsewhere in Ecclesiastes is how work and wealth very often and very easily become out-of-balance priorities in our lives. It's true that sometimes we may share the viewpoint of the teacher that the teacher seems to express, that work is meaningless, especially if we don't particularly enjoy our jobs, or if we don't get much satisfaction from them, or don't think that the end product that we're working for is actually very worthwhile or very meaningful or very helpful. But at other times, we think, or at least we act, the opposite way. Sometimes we connect our very self-worth to our jobs, and we work as if our life depended on it, as if our jobs were the most important thing in our life. When our work is going well, we feel satisfied, we feel that our lives are full of meaning, but when work is not going well, we may become depressed, we may feel that our lives are utterly meaningless. We may become workaholics, working far more than we should, and neglecting other important areas of our lives, like our relationship to God, reading His Word and praying to Him, and our relationships with our family members and friends, and the needs of others in the world around us. Often, workaholism is driven not just by the desire to be successful, but also by greed, by the desire to have more stuff and to carve out for ourselves a more comfortable existence. Very often, our mentality can be like the man in the parable from our gospel reading today, always with something bigger and better in mind. Our society is so commercialized, and really that's what is pushed on us every day, almost every minute, in television commercials, newspaper advertisements, and internet pop-up ads. Not too long ago, high-definition TV, HD TV, was the new big thing that everyone had to have, or else your TV experience would just be less than exceptional. But now there's UHD TV, ultra high definition, instead of just regular old run-of-the-mill high definition. It's not too expensive for a smaller size screen, but if you want a screen that's as big as your wall, well, that's gonna cost you. You better start saving. And we could use many other examples. Whether it's a new TV, or a new computer, or a new smartphone, or a new car or truck, a new house, in a new neighborhood, new clothes, a cruise or a vacation to an exotic place, whatever else it might be, it's very easy for us to slip into that bigger and better mentality. Just as the man in the parable said, "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods." And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Now, if you're thinking, well, there's nothing inherently wrong with advancing your business or working hard to become successful at your job, you're right. In fact, God wants us to work hard and faithfully. And you might be thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, eating, drinking, and being merry, which is even what the teacher said in verse 24 from our reading in Ecclesiastes. He wrote, "A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work." And of course, that is also right. But the problem is what Jesus identifies in the gospel reading when he says in the final verse, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." That reveals to us the key problem with the man in the parable. He was obsessed with possessions to the point that that was all that he thought about. Just getting more and more money and possessions for himself to enjoy, but not giving much of anything at all to God. In that instance, then, the man's possessions had become his God, with a small g. He was breaking the first commandment, in which God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." That is the main point. And that's what ties the gospel reading to the reading from Ecclesiastes. Jesus says in verse 15 of the gospel reading, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus is telling us basically what the meaning of life is, or rather in this verse, what the meaning of life is not. Life is not about how much stuff you have. And although the teacher in Ecclesiastes says that a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work, that really isn't what life is all about either. Rather, the following words from the teacher clue us into the true meaning of life. He says, "This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment?" That's really what it boils down to. If you know God, if you know Jesus as your savior from sin, if you know God's promise to you of eternal life in heaven after this earthly life is over, then, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, you can be content during this life no matter what the circumstances. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you have a lot to eat or just a little, whether you find a lot of satisfaction in your work or whether you have to work really hard but get very little satisfaction from your work, you can be content knowing that your life is meaningful because of Jesus, because of God's love and his promises of eternal perfection and joy waiting for you in heaven. And so we pray, dear God, forgive me for all the times in my life when my priorities have been so out of balance, when I have been like the man in the parable, always dreaming about the bigger and better and saving my wealth for myself to enjoy, but not sharing much of it with you or with others, or giving much of it to support the great commission that you have called me to. Dear God, thank you for calling to me through your word today to show me my misplaced priorities and my sins against you. Thank you for forgiving these sins of mine through the sacrifice of your Son Jesus on the cross. Please help me to get my priorities straight again, to remember your great love for me through Jesus, and to be motivated by your love to put you and your will as the first priority for my life, to have a desire to serve and to help others, and last of all, to think about myself and what I want. I pray that you would allow me to be truly content, knowing that the meaning of life is all about you and your love for me and for the whole world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.